Psalm 152, a psalm of lament and a psalm of hope. What's the point? February 5th, 2016, my house, the basement. My mom and I are watching the Super Bowl as Anya tends to my son upstairs. Midway through the third quarter, it's 28-3 Falcons, and the Patriots begin their eighth drive. My mom looks over to me and asks, "Why are the Patriots even trying? What's the point?" And right then and there, I knew, it was over. The Patriots were going to somehow miraculously win that game. Because see, whenever my mom says, "What's the point?" she summons a cosmic jinx, and everything that you once thought was set in stone immediately crumbles. I yelled, "Ma, you just cost the Falcons the Super Bowl and me $100 bet." And sure enough, in about an hour's time, I was out of Benjamin, and Tom Brady was shaking Roger Goodell's hand. What's the point? A month ago, at a bar in New Jersey, some friends got into a conversation about the hardships of parenting in 2017. How do we adequately save for college? How do we regulate texting and approach sexting? How do we mitigate screen time, more so now because our schools require of our children and our youth to do most of their work on their devices? But the main talking point, surprisingly, somewhat abstractly, and certainly humorously, was what's the point in having kids at all? They are an utter drain. They mirror you towards bankruptcy. They are a strain on the marriage and the cultivation of self. And they won't even remember all of the sleepless nights, all of the diapers changed, all of the numbing sacrifice suffered and offered on their behalf in those first years of their life. What's the point? Especially when they grow up to talk back to you, when they lie to you as teenagers, when they promptly leave the nest for college without thanking you adequately for the 18 years of savings for said event, and then move on so completely it's as if you were never significant in the first place. What's the point? This past week at Theology on Tap, Taylor Slaughter held me for a moment afterwards and asked me if I could explain the point of a particular passage in Scripture that the women's circle of this church was struggling with. Dolores Edwards and Betsy Symes approached me in Bible study with the same question. The text and question that they were struggling with came from a letter to the Hebrews and focused on the notion of suffering for gain. As in, God ordains our suffering, and it is somehow for our benefit, the strengthening of our character, and so that we should endure suffering with grace. But what's the point in that? Especially when so many, namely Dolores, namely Betsy, suffer so needlessly and so disproportionately with the rest of this world, with the rest of us. What's the point that could be made by yet another diagnosis, another disaster, another flood, another wildfire, another shooting, another trial of pain? What's the point of God's will being done if that will is also the author of our misery? What is the point? Several thousand years ago, Moses found himself talking face to face with God in the tent of meeting. Exodus 33:11 is just one verse before we started our text this day. And apparently then, without explanation, surprisingly, all that changed, and God no longer wanted to meet Moses in that way, face to face. What's the point in doing everything you ask, in leading these insufferable people throughout the desert, if you're no longer going to look at me eye to eye when we talk? Moses must have thought. And so twice Moses seeks God's affirmation, twice God's confirmation of favor. Just show me that I still Jeff took his own life. The same Jeff that I preached about from this pulpit just last year, praising God for the good news of his incredible turnaround from depression and alcohol abuse. So what was the point of that? Jeff grew up just a couple streets away from me, and yet my blessings were tenfold in comparison. Where was his mercy, his favor? A good kid, kind, compassionate, smart, loved helping others, especially children, and yet grace never seemed to find him. Absent parents, drugs, pornography, abuse. And yet somehow he pushed his way through and made it to college. He went to Seton Hall with me, but then a fire freshman year finished him off. He fell 3 floors out of a burning window. He survived, but he was never the same. Filled with regret for not knocking on his neighbor's door, who died in the hallway outside of his room, engulfed alive in flames. Why him? Why always Jeff? There was no family system, no healthy nucleus for him to return to, no comfort, no mercy, no grace, no favor. What was the point of his life? What was the point of his narrative? What was the point of his demise, his death? Or is that the point, God? Just as you said to Moses, is it the point that you favor some and not all? That you are gracious to some and to others who aren't? If true, what would be the point to any of this? What would be the point of what I'm doing here if I can't even proclaim the good news to all people? To Jeff, to someone who needed me, who called out to me, who turned to me. What would be the point in being a pastor if I justified myself, like I did that fateful Saturday, to be too busy to pick up the phone when he called in his last moments of distress because I was writing a sermon? What would be the point of this call if I was too preoccupied to answer his? What's the point in my training, the power of Scripture that's all helpless sometimes in the face of darkness, true darkness? What's the point of working with young people, trying to guide them, navigating them throughout life's trials and tribulations, if I myself, when challenged with the question, am impotent when facing what is the point? What's the point of your questions? Christ asked the Pharisees. Christ now asks me. Your questions, they serve no purpose as they are but a trick. They deceive, for the answers that you are looking for and the response you want of me, it doesn't exist, at least not in the way that you're looking for. For there is gray. There is no yes always, no always. There are things of this world that are of the embers, and things of this world that are of God's. And that's just the way it is, for now at least here on fallen earth. So trying to figure it all out, to iron it all out, that is a wrong question and a pointless endeavor. So what then ultimately is the point of your sermon? The Spirit now confronts me here after Friday night's lockdown and all day Saturday's Harry Potter carnival. What are you trying to achieve? What is the good news? What is your point, Brian? I think, finally, it is this. That Cindy says it all the time from this pulpit, and it's Scripture. That for now, we only see through a mirror dimly. There are simply some things that we will never fully understand. There are some questions for which there are no answers to, or at least none that will ever satisfy. That in this mortal life, we are yet destined to only catch glimpses of the divine, backsides because our vision and our comprehension is simply obstructed by our humanity, our sinful, finite, limited flesh and sheer humanity. There are things then of this world that are just of the emperors, of the realm of empires, where nature and genetics strike us down, where tyrants and bullies governed by the strong fists of injustice, misdirection, and oppression. This life, this earthly, grounded life, will just never be perfect. And because of that sheer and simple truth for a lot of us, there will be pain. There will be misery. There will seem to be little favor. And it surely will not be much for our gain. But there will also come a time in this life that we are graced with the unexpected. Those moments where grace will somehow surprise us, where the dark corners of our somber rooms will be illuminated by the light and the beautiful. Even if just for a moment, a fleeting moment, there will be light. And it is up to us who remain to witness that light, more to witness to that light, as agents commissioned by Christ to be even lights unto others, to embody those glimpses, so that people are brought up, so that the youth are brought up, so that all people are brought up and may know otherworldly divine grace. My friends, I think the point of what I'm trying to say is no more simple than this. Be of good courage. Do not give in. Keep trying, keep fighting. No matter the score, do it for your friends, do it for your family, do it for this community, do it for the church. Do it for the future. Even if the future is not your own, but a child's and a youth's and a people who will follow into that promised land. Do it for them, their education, their betterment. Do it for them so that none will ever feel hopeless, as did Jeff. And so that all might have a better chance to come face to face with those glorious promises of presence, rest,